Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 7, 2001.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it may be, wherever you are in all 24 time zones, spanned by this program. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, Friday night, Saturday morning, open line version. It's going to be fun. It is the weekend. All right. First, I'd like to welcome yet more new affiliates. WCCA-FM in Charlotte, North Carolina. Not Charlotte, but Charlotte, North Carolina. 103.7 megahertz, 25,000 watts. And also simulcasting us from Charlotte, WLTT-FM. In Charlotte, North Carolina. 106.3 on the dial, 6 kilowatts. Now, you might ask yourself, why would two radio stations in one town be carrying my program? Simple answer, WCCA blasts north with 25,000 watts to the Wilmington area, and WLTT blasts south to the Myrtle Beach area. So, thank you, guys, and by that I mean the owner, Gary Burns, and the ops director, Ron Franklin. Great, great, great to have you with us in the ever-growing network. The numbers. Listen, I want to say a word or two about last night's program. I think that in many ways, of all the shows I've done on near death or what happens to one after we, you know, pass to the other side, leave the physical body, assume room temperature, whatever, Pam's interview last night was really profound. I could not shoot a hole in the whole thing. As you know, I hope you heard it last night, Pam had brain surgery. She had an aneurysm removed from her brain, and to do that, They cooled her down to about 58 degrees, removed all the blood from her body, her heart stopped, and her brain waves ceased for 1 hour. 1 hour. And she told us all about where she went and what happened, and it was incredible. Incredible. Moreover, Pam was able to account in a linear time frame for everything that happened in the operating room, things that were said, instruments, things that were moved, in fact, the paddles used to try and kickstart her heart, you know, she recalled all of that. Now, the only possible argument that I could see that could have been made was that Pam experienced this as she went into anesthetic or came out from. However, that is shot down completely by the fact that she was able to relate everything that went on in that operating room, as well as what occurred to her externally. So it was a very profound interview, in my opinion, really profound. And if you missed it somewhere down the line, we'll try and get it repeated for you. Where was this woman? She was dead. Dead by every measure. I mean, no brainwave, zero for an hour. That is really, really dead. Where was she? I'd say it's a fairly important question, wouldn't you? Hey, listen, along with the open lines that we're going to have tonight, because of a few, if you're a regular listener, you know, a few recent, really bizarre, frightening stories that have come from mostly young ladies that have called. We are going to do a special line. One line tonight is going to be devoted to the subject of entity attacks. And I purposely use the, you know, somewhat vague term entity because I have no idea what it is attacking these people. both women and men, I have no idea. In their sleep, I talked to a woman the other night who had hand marks, you know, bruises over her body from an attack during the night from something evil, some sort of representative of the devil or the devil himself or a shadow person, whatever a shadow person really is, or anyone of who knows. So in other words, I've left it sort of open with the vague term entity. But when I say attacked by an entity, I mean a physical attack. An actual physical attack from some sort of entity. If this has happened to you, then I am going to restrict. Nobody else can call this line but those who fit into that category. Only if you fit into that category should you call. And only if it was a physical attack should you call. And we'll sort of pick up on that toward the bottom of the hour. Now, in war news, Taliban forces look like they're going to give it up. Kandahar, that is. A lot of you may recall that many now, a couple of months ago at least, Ed Dame said that Bin Laden orchestrated the attack from a bunker near Kandahar before anybody knew anything about Afghanistan for the most part. And it looks like Kandahar may be where they find him. We'll see. And now he didn't say he'd be found in Kandahar necessarily. He said that he orchestrated the attack from a bunker in the Kandahar area. Ed Dames will be here on Monday also to talk about this new fungus that is attacking our trees. Anyway, they're looking for Osama bin Laden. You know, they feel they're getting close. The dragnet is certainly closing in. Now, eager to keep their stamp on the government's response to the September 11 attacks, Senate Democrats yesterday proposed a $20 billion alternative to the $35 billion anti-terrorism package killed hours earlier by lawmakers in defeating the bill. The Republicans have apparently handed a victory to President Bush, who swore anything over $20 billion, and he would wield the veto pen, and that would be that. December 7th. Americans marked yesterday's anniversary of Pearl Harbor with appeals to their countrymen to fight terrorism with the same valor shown by the World War II generation. Ceremonies honoring the thousands killed on December 7th stretched from Hawaii to New York near the smoking rubble of the World Trade Center, which has been compared to the audacity, the infamy of December 7th, 1941. Again and again. So, and I think in some ways, even worse. At least the Japanese, for the most part, attempted to attack military facilities, you know, ships, support things. They tried to keep our butts out of the Pacific Ocean. That was the intent of the dastardly attack. They wanted us crippled and unable to respond as they crisscrossed the Pacific, taking everything in sight. Well, of course, it didn't work. And what's happened to us September 11th isn't going to work in the long run either. Dow had a rather down day, about 50, the NASDAQ falling about 33. Well, just as I suspected, the major networks began to break the story on Cuba today. The wire services began breaking it late last night. CNN had it, then ABC's Good Morning America, I think, had it. Do you know that over 70% of the American people believe that that is Atlantis under the water off the coast of Cuba? Now, you've got to ask yourself, or you should ask yourself, if we've got really good investigative reporters in this country, why did it take them 6 months from the time that we began discussing it on this program with some pretty heavy-duty evidence? I mean, they could have taken the tip a little earlier, in my opinion. And we did more than give them a little tip. I mean, we just about rammed it down their throats. Hey, yo, folks, there's a big discovery in the waters off Cuba, and, you know, it's a city. And, there are buildings and highways, and it looks like an urban center, you know, the quotes and so forth. And we've done that for so long now, and somehow you would think that somebody at one of the networks would say, hey, Frank, this sounds like it could be an important story. Maybe we ought to check on it. What do you think? But they didn't. It took 6 months, and then I don't know what was the final catalyst for somebody with a few more brains than their colleagues to figure out this just might be a big story. Did you hear about Mars? Oh, my. Today it was revealed that the increasing temperature of the sun is causing Mars to heat up. In fact, the surface of Mars is heating up so rapidly that in less than 1,000 years, Mars' polar ice caps will completely melt. The temperature of the red planet will zoom up to, in quotes now, shirt-sleeve environment. Now, the one thing that the press didn't or today, and I would like to at least bandy about with you a little bit, check me here if I'm wrong. But we are the third rock from the sun, right? And Mars is our neighbor, and even though they ran this story about ice caps melting on Mars, and that's how much the sun... Didn't it occur to anybody out there that, yo, folks, it's the same sun, the one heating up Mars enough to melt the ice cap, is same sun that we enjoy the rays of here. So, seems to me what's going to affect Mars is going to affect the Earth as well. Duh. But nobody sort of took on that aspect of the story, and I've been telling you for a long time now, boy, I'll tell you, big X-class flares expected from just gigantic spots on the sun. The sun really has been going extra special nuts lately. So, I don't know. Seems to me they just sort of missed that part of the story. I mean, it's great about Mars. Amazing about Mars to imagine the ice caps are going to melt and that it'll be shirt-sleeve weather. I mean, you know, good weather for human beings. Of course, if they melt, if there's large water content on Mars, now let's think about this, folks. When the ice melts and the water flows, what is that going to put into the atmosphere? Probably oxygen. Right? So the sun will get hotter. Mars will begin to heat up and get an atmosphere. But doggone, they just don't mention how that's going to affect the Earth. And I think that's so important. Since, you know, we live here. Maybe that's just me. Don't forget, one line is being reserved away. Don't even bother calling it because I will screen calls on this line. I will screen calls. It's my entity attack line. People who have been physically attacked, physically, by some sort of entity. Any other line, any other subject, whatever you want. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Yes, I have two different... episodes that happened to me and my brother. It rained rocks on us for 3 days.
I beg your pardon? It rained rocks?
Yes. It rained...
Were you in a rock fight?
No.
You mean it rained rocks from the sky?
Yes, sir. And the police that were there investigating...
What kind of rocks, sir? Pebbles or...
Yeah, they were like pebbles and just... some of the rocks were big and some were small.
Kind of like type 2, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, type 2, a type 2 shower.
Right. And I had a
God,
friend.
Sir, where did this happen?
California, Missouri.
California, Missouri?
Yes, sir.
That's a town in Missouri?
Yes, sir.
And, well, it seems to me like if it would rain rocks, things would begin to break.
Yes. Yeah, and I tell you, it had the cops baffled there. They
why bad?
They couldn't figure out, you know, they was up on the rooftops thinking that people was throwing them off the roofs and everything. They were spotlighting all over the place, and it was just the craziest thing we ever seen.
Well, okay, so what was it? When did this happen?
1980, I think it was 81.
All right, so what did they finally conclude? There must have been an investigation. After all, it doesn't rain rocks every day, right? So somebody must have investigated all this.
Yeah, they investigated. They tried to figure out what was going on, but yeah, I think it scared them to death. They never called any big boys in on it or anything, but they're just small. You know, it's a small town, about 3,000 people.
Well, excuse me, but you know, when it rains rocks, not for one, but for 3 days, that's biblical.
Yeah. Every day everywhere we went for 3 days and three nights, it rained rocks. The craziest thing, I'm telling you, Art.
Well, you mean you actually went out? I mean, if it was raining rocks, I would hide inside. I would not go out, nor would I subject my cars to a rain of rocks. I mean, so you were out and about?
Yeah, we were just kids. We were like in our 20s and stuff, but we thought it was pretty cool, really.
Well,
you know, we were kind of scared, but... in the other sense, it was kind of neat.
Raining. Well, I guess if you're a kid, you'd go, wow, it's raining rocks.
Uh-huh.
But that's as cool as it would get. I mean, it's not good to rain rocks. Did you get... what about when it was all over? I mean, were there rocks everywhere?
The rocks just came, and they tattooed us everywhere we went, and we jumped in some friends' cars. And the rocks followed us everywhere we went for 3 days and three nights. When we went home, it rained rocks on us all night while we slept.
Sir?
Yes?
Put your right hand on your radio.
Put my right hand on my radio?
Yes.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You got it there?
I do.
Do you swear to me on your radio that it really, honest to God, rained rocks?
Art Bell, I swear to you on my life.
Well,
me and my brother, it rained rocks on us for 3 days and three nights.
Can you understand that the average person might have some doubt about that?
Well, yes, but we've also seen a UFO in 1977 right over us. We were sleeping out in the front yard.
Well, in some ways, that really, honestly, doesn't compare to raining rocks. 3 days of raining rocks. I'm going to have to think about this. That's the first report I've ever heard of that. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001.
To the wind, the sun, and the rain. We can be that day out. Come on, baby. Don't feel the reaper. Baby, take my hand. Don't feel the reaper. We'll be able to fly. Don't feel the reaper. Baby, I'm your man. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and it's open lines, absolutely open lines, except for that one entity attack line all night long. Friday night, Saturday morning. And now, our first plunge to the entity attack line. Only those attacked physically by entities may call this line. And on that line, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Bell.
Hi.
You're
very welcome. Where are you?
I'm calling right now from Portland, Maine.
Okay.
And this happened to me when I was 11 years old or so. I was living in Massachusetts at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be... Well, I have asthma, always had childhood asthma, very bad, in the hospital a number of times.
Yes.
And the way they used to treat it when I was a kid was, well, they just let you work it out. They wouldn't give you any medication for it or anything. So I would go several days without any sleep, and I would see things that I would tell myself that it's not really there, but I'd see them as clearly as I'd see, the car in front of me.
Right.
And, but I just tell myself, but I'd see people in the room, and I'd see people outside my window, and I'd just say, this is crazy, I'm just making this up. Even when I was 11 years old, it was the only way I could deal with it, it was to try to rationalize it.
Well, that's what the brain does. It tries to protect itself. So, sure, you actually imagine you're having hallucinations. That becomes a very good answer for your brain.
Yeah. But one morning, it was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. I knew I was very sick at the time, going on probably third or fourth without any sleep. And I was lying in bed, and I saw. Well, since I've only listened to your show for a little bit, but I guess it'd be described as a shadow person, a dark entity.
Mm-hmm.
Came into my room. I used to see this dark entity quite a bit. Would sit in a chair and watch me.
You saw it. You saw it full on.
See,
a lot of these so-called shadow people are just seen, from the corner of the eye. But you saw this full on, sitting there.
Well, I saw it full on. I don't know if it's a shadow person. I don't know what I saw.
Well, was it somewhere between solid and some degree of translucence? Was it solid black? What?
It was solid black.
Solid black.
But my room, would be dark. We're talking 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning is when I would see it.
Yeah, good point. All right, so in what way did this thing finally actually attack you?
Well, I remember looking at it once and saying to myself, it's not real, and it moved. It got up and it walked to the end of my bed.
Perhaps it was offended.
At
your thinking that.
I would guess so.
And so
it grabbed my ankles.
Your ankles.
And yanked.
And yanked.
And I went out off the footboard of my bed, and I went at least my body length and a half, sheets and all, across the room. And
actually
hit a wall. I would have gone farther probably if I didn't hit the wall.
Holy mackerel. And landed on the floor?
Oh, yeah. Even when I was a kid, I tried to rationalize it. Maybe it was some muscle contraction or something like that. But, I don't know how I could possibly have done something like that at 11 years old. Hurled myself horizontally over the footboard of my bed and across the room. I can still feel something, I can still, you know, think back and remember something grabbing my ankle.
Yeah, that's not a sensation that you would mistake for anything else. If something grabs your ankles and throws you across the room, you know what happened to you.
And even, you know, the physical action of just, you know, flying horizontally that distance.
That's
7 or 8 feet.
Disconcerting.
I don't know how I could have done that myself without something doing it to me.
In what way did you finally rid yourself of this scourge?
Well, we eventually moved.
And when you did, it did not follow?
No.
All right. Well, I really thank you for the story. There's one for you right away. I got this idea because I was so affected by the young lady who called, a few nights ago, and she was talking about an attack. She's going to send photos. They should be here soon, too. She's got to get them kinkoed or something. Anyway, hands left on the arms, hand marks, bruised hand marks, matching a hand on the arm and the thighs. A really serious attack while she was in bed. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. Where are you?
Yes, sir. This is Dean calling from Tampa, Florida.
Okay, Dean.
Yes, sir. You spoke of Atlantis and perhaps the discovery of Atlantis off Cuba, in fact, and then you mentioned Mars. And ironically, when you first mentioned Atlantis, Mars was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. I mean, both stories are amazing. The Cuba story, in my opinion, because it took the press so long to finally get it. But the Mars story, but the part, that, again, that's getting me is, if Mars is going to heat up that much, how come the news today didn't have any speculation on, you know, what happens to the old third rock from the sun here?
Well, sir, if you remember when they discovered that the ice caps were melting at an extreme rate. In fact, they reported from that one boat. Well, ironically, about 5 or 6 years ago, I was in Anchorage, Alaska, and there's a little glacier I used to visit quite often. And for about 20 years off and on, I used to watch this glacier. And for almost, in fact, I got a helicopter coming over my house right now. But ironically, I had watched this glacier only rescind about a half an inch each year. And then one year, I think it was 1995.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes, sir.
I can hear the chopper.
I know. Wasn't that amazing? I'm right next to Ybor City in the port, so it's MacDill.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. I was watching this glacier kind of do its work there only one-fourth of an inch a year, and one summer it disappeared 3 miles, sir. And for a 2,000-year watch of this movement and only watching it doing one-fourth of an inch, something tells me that we are either us or something's happening outside of our Earth that is actually heating us up and melting the caps. And ironically, and I'll make this short, Mars, to me, could be, like you mentioned before, actually what we used to be on, and this could be our arc. Mother Earth could be our arc, ironically, and we must take care of it before we learn.
Maybe there's a cycle that moves with the sun, where the sun changes so much that Earth virtually becomes uninhabitable. Mars becomes habitable. During another portion of the cycle, Mars becomes uninhabitable. Earth becomes inhabitable. I mean, that's really something to think about.
Well, sir, think about it. If we dig deep enough, we might just find things like Atlantis and other civilizations that suddenly we look up and realize that, hey, maybe it's a reflection not only of our past, but perhaps our future.
Hello. Thank you very much for the call. That man is so right on. He is so right on. If there are other civilizations in the very, very, very distant past, and they did technological things that we still don't know how to duplicate, not certainly in the way they did it, and some we simply cannot duplicate at all, as in the pyramids. Well, you could certainly speculate that even farther back than that, a lot farther, far enough back so you might be 2,100 feet under the sea these days, there could have existed our ancestors, who, for whatever reason we still don't fully understand, disappeared. But again, this Mars story, I mean, you think about it a little bit. The angle, the press should be asking the following question. If this is going to happen to Mars, then excuse us, but what will happen to Earth? Same sun, right? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening. Hi.
This is Jim. I'm calling from Northern Ontario, listening to you on 640 Mojo Radio out of Toronto.
There you go. Yes, sir.
I've listened to your show for almost 8 years now, and this is the first time I've called in. You've had a lot of phenomenal shows in the past 8 years, but last night's show blew me away.
Oh, me too. I mean, that was a stopper. I can't in any way shoot any hole into her story. If there ever was solid proof of the other side, she gave it last night.
Well, the only thing I have to say is after listening to that show, I felt such a comfort in what she was saying that I just had to stop my truck and stand out here in the payphone and tell you that it was one of the best shows you've ever had on. You've had a lot of great shows.
I flat out agree with you. Thank you so very much.
Anyway, looking forward to Ed Danes.
Oh, yes, Monday.
Have a good night.
Thank you so much. I so thoroughly agree with that. It was profound. I've never heard a story with as much, and by the way, her doctor, I understand, would like to be on the air, and oh my, would I like to have him here. Her brain surgeon would like to be on the air, and I'd love to have him. He's done, you know, he pioneered these operations, and there have been about 100 since. But I too, it was so solid, it was so credible, it was so impossible to shoot holes in, that I think it is strong evidence of the other side, of physical existence after death. Conscious existence, although she said there was a physical aspect to it, after death. I mean, no question about it, it was that good. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
I'm calling, and I have an entity attack story.
Even though you're not on my
even
entity
though,
attack
that line. That line was busy.
All right. Well, I will take entity attack stories tonight on any line, but particularly on that one. So go ahead.
I appreciate that. Real quickly, though, I'm wondering if it'd be possible if you ever had Dr. Lorraine Day back on your show.
I've had her on repeatedly.
She's also an expert in AIDS. I'm not sure if that's what you covered with her the last...
I was interviewing Lorraine Day on, Dr. Day on AIDS 9 years ago, sir. 9 years.
That is great. And by the way, the religion she belongs to, there's a prophet by the name of Ellen G. White. You've got to read her books, Art.
We need to get to the entity part here.
2 years ago, I was attacked. I woke up one night. I kept having nightmares. And about the third time I woke up, I felt a piercing in my arm.
A piercing?
A piercing. And I woke up and looked, and there was an entity. It was a human shape, but it was blackened. You couldn't distinguish, you know, facial features.
Do you mean like knives piercing you? Do you mean, give me some analogy.
Here is the catch. When the entity
claws
was there, and the piercing was from a syringe.
A syringe?
A syringe. It was an actual physical syringe. I could feel and see. I turned on the light, Art, and there was three, like, marks that you would get, like, when you have, like, a tetanus shot. And there was small amounts of blood.
Whoa.
Now, here's where the story really gets weird. I took several pictures of this. I had some film and a camera that had some previous pictures of...
Wait. Let's take this just a little slower. Here you wake up, feeling a piercing in your arm.
Yes.
And there are three, what, beings?
There's three marks.
Three marks. Okay, so you didn't see any entity.
I seen one entity.
What?
It was a human form. Had arms, legs, but it was, how do I describe it? It was dark. It was black. You couldn't see facial features. You couldn't see the color of his hair. You couldn't see the color of his skin. It was like a black void, but it had a human shape to it.
So it's like you were given some kind of shot.
Yes. And it was swollen in the three different areas where the needle went in.
Yes.
And there was, you know, obviously a small amount of blood came out, just like when you get some type of shot at the doctor.
Right.
I took a picture. Now, before I took the picture of my arm, I just wanted to make sure I had my camera focused correctly, and I took a couple pictures of the room, you know, a couple plants and so forth, just to make sure everything was correct. So
testing the camera, yes.
Exactly.
Okay.
When I got the, after I took the picture of my arm, I took four pictures. When I picked the film up, All the pictures on there were perfect, except for the four that I took on my arm. They were completely undistinguishable. You couldn't even tell it was a picture of my arm. I don't tell this story much because I don't like people to think I'm crazy.
But no, that's all right. I won't do that. What kind of effect, if any, from that shot have this happened? How long ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, and what?
A little over 2 years ago.
Any effect in the last 2 years? Anything really weird?
I notice I have memory lapses from things that happened before that. I don't remember things that took place several years ago that I used to remember with me.
They gave you at least 10 cc's of wipe juice.
Something.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. That is kind of creepy, isn't it? You get a shot in the middle of the night by an entity, and then you begin to forget things. Wonder if it injected some other memories into him. That's a weird one, all right. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut. I had two good skeptical questions I wanted to ask Pam Reynolds last night. And I wanted to tell you that it's not fair what you did to me to cut me off, as you usually do whenever I call the top or the bottom of the hour, when you have a chance to screen the line to the top or the bottom of the hour, because you said, okay, hold
Bill,
on, you cut
Bill,
me off.
Bill, I told you that I am only going to take so many calls from you per week.
I haven't called in over 2 weeks, I think it's been.
Then you better make it good. Now, okay. What would the two skeptical questions have been?
Okay, I want to ask you yourself. Thank you for letting me chance to ask you. I wanted to say to Pam, and I'll say it to you, could we both have it both ways? Let me explain what I mean by that. It seems that what she went through, and I believe that she definitely went through an experience. She definitely believes she went through an experience. The only thing that I'm trying to say that...
Sure, no, Bill, hold it.
Yes.
You've got to get past, the burden of proof shifts to you in that she described and could describe what happened during the hour of surgery, during the hour when she had no brain waves. Get past that one for me, buddy.
That's what I'm trying to do. Hold on.
Well, we'll do better.
Okay, in the operating room, the things that can be verified by the doctors and the nurses, in other words, when she said she saw things, by the way, I don't understand how she could see things without eyes because her eyes were closed and there were no brain waves, or hear things without ears.
I'm glad you don't understand it, but you have yet to explain it.
All right, well, I'm saying the things that can be verified that seem to be definitely paranormal or weird or ESP or maybe the possible data showing that the consciousness exists outside the brain, or the mind and the brain can exist outside the brain, are the things that can be verified by the doctors and the nurses. For example, seeing...
I just finished telling you I'm going to have the doctor on.
Well, what I'm saying is, but the things afterwards in this so-called other dimension, how do you know, for example, the beings there told her that God, the bright light was God breathing? How do you know they weren't lying to her because she wouldn't understand what the real answer was?
Bill, I hate to say this, and I know you're an atheist.
Yes.
But you sound frantic, Bill. You sound frantic. And you sound so frantic that it makes me think that last night's program was exceptionally profound. Moreover, you simply, I don't know, you just danced. You frantically danced, Bill. And if you really, and apparently you did hear last night's program, in your particular position as an atheist, I don't blame you. I'd be dancing too. If I heard that show last night and I was an atheist, I'd be going, uh-oh. Maybe I haven't thought this through really thoroughly. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Kim.
Kim?
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, yes.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, you had something on your program there, and I've been looking on the Internet for it. Why do streetlights turn on or off?
You mean when somebody walks by them?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking for an explanation.
If I had one, I'd certainly give it to you.
I
don't know. There are people who claim that they are, you know, they have some sort of electromagnetic influence on things near them, and that they affect the lights as they go by.
I didn't know. But I've searched the Internet high and low for an explanation.
This is one of those great mysteries, sir.
Yeah, one of the wags even said, you know, check your chrome dome. But I've only been a listener for about 4 or 5 weeks, and I thought it was interesting.
It is interesting, and you'll hear a lot about it on this program, all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, my friend, take care. Way up north. We're into open lines tonight, except for our entity attack line.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 7th, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. I want to remind you, we're reserving the first-time caller line for people who have been attacked by some sort of entity, physically attacked by some sort of entity. Otherwise, call one of the other lines, open lines. Back into the night we go. Open lines, wild card line, you are on the air. Hello.
Yes, good evening, Art.
Good evening. Where are you, sir?
I'm Ronald, and I'm in Redding, California, listening to you, KQMS, 1400 AM.
Yes, sir.
And I just really felt compelled to call you on this subject of entity attacks.
Oh, really?
Because, yes, really, I have never shared this in full with another living human being. I've shared bits and pieces with other people, and that generally wound me up in a mental institution of one form or another. And
All right. Just tell me then, what happened to you?
Well, from the years, I'd say 87 to 91, I experienced varying degrees of attack, beginning with mental attack, obsessive thinking, voices, shadow people, as you call them, appearing to me, and at the first, at the corner of the eyes, and darting glimpses and glances and such.
That's how it always begins. By the way, what kind of phone are you on?
I am on a cordless.
Can you
like me to go to a corded?
Yeah, would you please?
Okay, hold on.
Let's demonstrate to everybody how much nicer.
Hello, are you there?
Oh, see, that's so much nicer.
Is that better?
Yes, so much better. Yes, indeed. All right, so anyway, it began, as it does for many people, with the shadow people at the corner of the eye. Then what?
Well, I was married, had a good job with government, and the torment became absolutely unbearable because these things were, the voices became incessant, and it was never a single voice. It would be choruses of voices, as you had that one caller speaking of the other day. And these things would appear to me at night when I was fully awake, possibly when I was asleep, I don't know, and I would see them, and they were generally standing directly over me, and they were, as other callers have described, black and dark, but I would go a step further and say these things gave off an emanation of evil such as I have never experienced, and the blackness was such that it had a depth and a gravity all of its own that would literally draw and pull myself into it. And I would be so terrified that often I would scream, and my wife, of course, would assume I was having nightmares.
At least.
When I began to share this, people, of course, assumed that I had some form of schizophrenia. And when I went to the mental health professionals in a complete panic one time, that got me my first round into psychiatric treatment. And even under the influence of all the psychotropic drugs and all, these things were still coming and appearing. And
Well, that would be the obvious. I mean, you know, if somebody said what you're saying, they would indeed be diagnosed and treated with some sort of a psychiatric drug. Yeah, no question about it. So it continued through that. Did it ever get physical?
Yes. Toward the end, as I started desperately seeking for solutions outside of the mental health system, I tried everything. I read everything I could get my hands on. I consulted pastors and preachers, rabbis,
sure.
Anybody.
Sure.
And as I tried and tried to seek help for relief from this torment, the attacks got incessant, and then they became physical to where, for example, and it seemed nighttime is a favorite to these things. I was in my bed at one night, and something jumped on my bed, and I absolutely froze, and it started walking across my bed, and I could feel the feet causing depressions in the mattress and also stepping on my legs and then on my midsection. I managed to raise my head, and by the light being filtered through the curtains, moonlight, streetlight, I could see what appeared to be something between a tarantula and a dog.
Oh, brother.
On the foot of my bed.
Bad combination.
Moving toward me, and
I think
I let out the most blood-curdling scream, and this thing dematerialized, which is how they seem to make their exit. They didn't head for a door or go through a wall. They would just, like a Star Trek beam me up type.
So maybe they don't like screams. That's good.
Maybe their hearing is sensitive, perhaps. That could be.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of the end as far as my interactions with them. As I started to seek help, and I got in contact with a lady who was very much along the lines and beliefs of the late Father Martin, she started to help me and assist me, and also a missionary fellow. And these things increased their torment to where they would try to crush my larynx.
Crush her? You mean choke you to death?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These inky, infinite black creatures that your callers and you have dubbed the shadow people.
Just a name, sir. Just a name.
And crush my larynx or crush my chest and literally try to destroy my ability to breathe or speak.
Or scream.
It would happen in the daytime. You know, eventually I started having heart problems and high blood pressure problems.
I can imagine.
And, I tell you, it was the struggle of a lifetime.
Well, all right, so how did you rid yourself finally of this?
Well, Art, I tell you what. In February of 1991, I locked myself into a bedroom, and I went on a fast.
Yes.
And I consumed nothing but water, and I was on my knees, face down, begging God to remove this from me for 2 weeks.
And he did.
And he did.
Well, that's some incredible story, sir. No question about it. If I were to see an entity and it treated me as it treated him, I'd scream too, and my scream would sound something like this. That, of course, is actually a Bigfoot scream. East of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Yes, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm just spiffy.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
The reason why I was calling, I have no idea if you've ever had a guest on the air or anything like that to do dream analysis or anything of that nature.
Oh, I've had many dream analysts on the show.
Wonderful. That maybe you might be able to give me some kind of guidance or some kind of answers to this. I'm essentially looking for an evaluation of a repetitive dream.
Of your dreams?
Maybe it might have a some kind of a symbol or something of that nature that maybe one of your guests might have hit on.
But, well, what was your dream?
Well, as childish as it may seem, that this dream was actually where I'm being chased, and sometimes it involves members of my family, where I'm actually being chased by dinosaurs, okay?
Now, dinosaurs?
As childish as it may seem, when you're there, you're seeing these dinosaurs dismember people that are around you.
Oh, well, and listen, when the dinosaurs were here, 65 million years ago or whatever, they probably did, there's a lot of instances of dinosaur imprints in rock, along with human imprints in rock. And, you know, we're finding now that it's quite probable that humans were here long before we suspected they were, you know, like back when the dinosaurs were here. Well,
sure.
If that's true, we would be, we'd be dinosaur fodder. We'd be a tasty little snack for a dinosaur, and I can imagine humans would run real fast away from them.
But what gets what really brought reality to this? In fact, I had a dream just last night, actually, where I was being chased by people who wanted to murder me all the time. The story always ends where I'm able to somehow manage to escape and to find people nearby in order to try and get some kind of help. I've had dreams where I've been I was in law enforcement beforehand. This is probably where this dream came from.
Oh,
where I've been gunned down. Before, where I've been hit repetitively by bullets, but like I said, the worst part about it was I've been actually chased down and stalked by murderers. And in fact, one murder weapon that was being used, getting ready to be used upon me, was a chainsaw at one time. And last night, I was actually able to, in this dream, I was actually able to escape through a window and try to get help. But you know, like I say, I have these repetitive dreams where I'm always being chased by something.
Are you a cop in your dream?
No, there's only been one dream where I was actually a law enforcement officer. These dreams usually, I know for a fact that I'm a civilian or I'm somebody who is scared, just a victim, I guess, so to speak. And,
well, next time you have your dream, carry a piece.
Carry a piece.
That's right. Shoot the damn thing. I don't
does
know. Listen, I'm not a dream analyst.
Okay.
I have them on, but I wouldn't endeavor to analyze your dream, but it's pretty weird.
Does dreaming in color have anything different, bring a different aspect to it by any chance?
I have my dreams in color are very rare indeed.
All these have happened in color. And in fact, last night I even know that I dreamt in color last night. There was blood everywhere, so to speak, and the green of the grass when I was trying to escape and so on and so forth. I don't know if that has any significance in the story at all. But.
I will get some responses from people who interpret dreams, and I won't mess with you anymore because I have no idea.
I'm standing by the radio.
All right, take care. Yes, sir. Sure, we have those people on. On my entity attack line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, man, it's an honor talking to you.
An honor to have you. Where are you?
I'm in Memphis, listen to you on 600. But my story was when I moved here from Texas, and I used to listen to you all the time on Big 570.
Yes, sir. Cliff.
And mine happened to me when I was living in Dallas, and I was in an apartment, and it started out, you know, me and my friends talking about selling our souls, you know.
You sat around talking about selling your soul?
Yeah. We would just sit around drinking and stuff and talk about
selling
our souls
soul.
And stuff.
May I ask? You what?
Oh yeah, we'd like actually.
You tried to do it?
Yeah.
Can I really honestly ask what you tried to sell your soul for? In other words,
I was like money and power and stuff like that.
Money and power?
Yeah, just like money, you know, and just like be like the richest guy, you know.
Well, how are you doing? Doing pretty well.
Well, a guy told me, you know, if you sell your soul, you know, devil always screws you, so you don't get anything.
Well, I don't know. How are you doing? Are you having a good life? Are you financially pretty well off?
Well, yeah, man. As a matter of fact, I got a house, man, with, like, brand-new hardwood floors, like, four bedrooms right now, and I live by myself. But the thing about it was, it started out, you know, as like a joke, you know, because I just wanted to see if it would work and see what would happen. And
you know, that's no joke. I mean, offering to sell your soul, that's a real serious thing.
Serious. I started having these. They didn't start out as attacks at first, but I didn't think much about it. I would be in my bed, and I would be asleep, and I would be like I was in a trance state. And the guy that called in earlier at the beginning of the program freaked me out because the same thing would happen to me. I would like feel hands, like human hands, and they would push me out of my physical body, and I would roll out of my bed onto the floor in spirit form and roll through doors and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And I would wake back up, you know, like try to wake myself up, and I'd like, you know, open my eyes a little, and I would be awake, and I could never stay awake. I just, like I was tranced or drugged or something, and I couldn't stay awake. And that kept happening, you know, over and over and over. And finally it happened again, and what happened was I felt his hands on my ankles dragging me out of my bed.
Oh, here we go again.
And I fell onto the floor and started dragging me, and it was dragging me across the floor into my bathroom, and that's when I woke up in my bed, and I was like, this isn't fun, you know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't wake up. It was like I was tranquilized or something, and I couldn't fully wake up.
Sort of paralyzed.
Yeah, like I was, like, I could open my eyes and sit up for a second, but I couldn't stay awake. I was just fall back awake, even though you try to. So that happened, and I fell back out, and I woke up. There was this blood red, like the reddest red I've ever seen in my life. Like, the only way I can describe it was, it looked like, I thought it was the devil or
well,
a demon.
You know, very bright red blood is very fresh blood. It is indeed very bright red when it's fresh.
Yeah, this was like, I've never seen a red this red in my life. Mm. And I was laying down in my bed horizontally, and it was like, I would say, only 2 feet tall. And it started attacking me, like hitting me and stuff like that. And I was hitting it back, and I was sitting there going, how do I get this thing away from me? So I started I said, you know, if I pray to Jesus and God, it would make it go away, because I knew it was a demon or the devil itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought if I prayed to Jesus, he would save me, and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
No, it did not work. I thought for sure if I said, Jesus, save me, you know, and protect
me.
It
would vanish or something.
Yeah, and that did not work.
Coming. All right, so then what?
Well, what happened was, what made it disappear was, it literally punched me in my stomach so hard that I woke up and I fell out of my bed onto the floor, and I felt physical pain for like at least a good minute and a half after I was wide awake. And I moved out of there and to a different state, and it hasn't happened since.
Well, as a matter of sort of finality here, going back to the beginning of what you were saying, you and some buddies, how many of you totally sat down trying to sell your souls to the devil? How many of you?
Oh, it was just like me, and I think my friends were into it, but I think I was just more into it more than they were.
Leader of the pack, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Maybe the moron.
The moron. Well, have you tracked, do you remain friends with these others?
Well,
kept track of any of them?
Not really, because I moved out of state, and I haven't really, but...
But now you're living big.
Well, not big, but, you know...
It sounds pretty big to me.
Well, for my age, it is. I mean, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
25?
Yeah.
Well, the average person, male, probably lives to near 75, so you might have a good 50 years to go, let's say, before the mortgage is called in. I mean, I honestly, sir, don't you worry about having done that sometimes, you know?
I do. I do all the time, and the worst thing about it is I'm sitting there going, I tried like selling my soul for all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the trick of it is, you know, I was out on the lake one time and I was riding this boat and.
On a boat. So you had a boat too. Oh, I'm telling you. Listen,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I gotta go. We're here at the bottom of the hour. Boat, big new house. Sold his soul. Well, trying to sell his soul. Personally, it sounds to me like ching ching, sale made. I'm Art Bell.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001. Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001.
Good morning. We've got an entity attack line, otherwise open lines all night long. Devin in Avon, Ohio, or is it Avon? Fast blast me, Art. I'm 26, married, and my wife was picked up out of our bed, levitated over me while I was sleeping, and then dropped 5 feet on top of me. We called our pastor to bless the house, and he was thrown, and then I didn't get any more than that, Devin. If you would like to fast blast me your phone number, I will call you, Devin, because I'd like to hear that story. It'd be weird to see your wife levitate 5 feet over you. Well, she was asleep at the time, I guess. Still, it would be something, wouldn't it? I'm Art Bell. If you'll stay right there, there's more directly ahead. By the way, I want to thank everybody out there for the open line or special line suggestions that they wrote to me. I decided myself on the entity attack line merely because I thought back, you know, a few days to that lady who told me about that attack, and it really freaked me out. I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to find out if there's a lot more of that going on, and quite obviously there is. So I plucked that one out myself. Nevertheless, I have saved some of your suggestions for future forays into the unknown. A wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi there. I was calling because a friend of mine actually told me to listen to the station. I never listened to your show, and I'm sorry for that. But I was listening, and a lot of these things that are happening to other people have been happening to me since I was 2. And I'm 32 now.
Right. So in other words, all that time?
Yeah,
30
pretty
years?
Pretty much. Every night.
Every night what happens?
They don't get violent every night.
They
come to me every night. There's two in particular.
Two
in particular, but then there's always like dozens around.
Describe what you see.
Well, they're hard to describe. The closest thing I can get to is, I don't know if you've... Recently, I saw the movie 13 Ghosts, and there's one of the bad guys on it. It's called the Jackal. And if you take the box off his head,
Yeah.
That's one of them.
I haven't seen the movie yet. So
okay. I know it's kind of silly, but I started going to Bible study about 6 months ago, and I started deciding, I was going to open up to my friends and tell them what's going on.
Right.
And I did, so they all started praying for me, and it's gotten better, but I still have them on occasion, but they can't physically attack me anymore.
But they did.
Oh, yeah.
How
for
bad?
Years.
How bad did? What was the worst of it?
They'd throw me through windows.
What?
My parents ended up boarding up my windows in my bedroom and
what?
Locking my doors.
What?
Yeah, they'd throw me through windows. They would throw me up against the wall. It actually started getting violent.
Well, I guess it's better to be thrown up against a board than it is a window, so I guess I understand what they did, but holy mackerel.
Yeah, they were actually kind of ashamed, I think, because we didn't know what was going on. They've taken me to dream psychologists and...
Dream psychologists? Hey, listen, getting tossed through the window, that's a pretty lucid...
Well, they thought that I was doing it for attention. They thought because I was afraid of the dark, because... From 2 to 7, they were not violent. They would come in my room and play with me.
So they were, your parents were perhaps embarrassed at their daughter sailing out the window every now and then.
Right.
Boarded the window.
Right, or because I'd get bruises and cuts.
Yeah, oh, well, sure.
And they didn't want me to go to school because they thought the school would think I was being abused.
Good point.
And my family had a different religion, the Acoma religion, it's an Indian religion.
Really?
And so they'd bring in the medicine man, and he would do his thing, and I never really agreed with it, but I never knew too much about Jesus. And when I was 7 years old, I told a friend in second grade, I told her what was happening to me, and she gave me a little hand Bible she kept in her little backpack,
mm-hmm.
and had pictures in it, and she said, pray to Jesus, he'll save you.
Okay.
So I took this home, and my stepdad grabbed it and threw it in the fireplace because he was an atheist, and he told me... I'm sorry?
Like Bill.
Like what?
Bill from Hartford. He's an atheist.
Oh, okay.
He says he is anyway.
I don't
Although he sounded really frantic tonight.
I'm not sure. I just listened the last, like, 5 minutes. My friend just called me and said,
only
you got to listen
to this. 5 minutes experience with the program?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't listen. Well, because, frankly, I always thought the people that called you were weirdos and... I never believed in, like, crop circles and all that stuff. Well, anyways, I don't want to get into all that.
Well, you know, it's not that your story is, I mean, I would rate you mid to upper scale in terms of, you know, as I look at all my stories, so I...
well, I know, but that's what I'm saying.
You ought not cast stones.
That's why I'm saying that when I heard this stuff, I'm like, wow, other people are dealing with this. Well, my friends had told me, you know what, there are other people out there, but...
But the fact of the matter is, it's real, you see.
It's extremely real. And what I was telling you was when I was 7 and I asked Jesus to come sleep with me to keep me safe that night, that's
yes.
when they got violent. They got extremely violent. Well, they threw me into the wall and put a hole in the wall and popped my eardrum from the blow. So my mom had to take me to the hospital. Whatever. She thought that I had did something because I didn't want to sleep alone. I was afraid of the dark. Well, she started believing me after a while when things like my door was ripped off the hinges. And the door frame would be shredded, but no one woke up through any of it.
And I thought I had a troubled childhood.
Oh, yeah. Actually, a friend of mine, Matthew Kitchens, is going to be writing my book.
Oh, you're going to write a book?
Yeah. I've decided to. Actually, I was pretty ashamed of it, and I never really wanted to share it. But now that I found Jesus and I'm a born-again Christian, I'm realizing that I don't have anything to be ashamed of.
You hear about the person that called a little while ago, and they said they tried to cast this thing out with the name of Jesus and so forth, and it didn't work?
Well, when I tried that, it got violent. But
I
was also I didn't know anything about Jesus, really. I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't have any faith.
Well, all right. Thank you very, very much for the story. I understand. I thought... As an experiment, I would have somebody cast out the devil in the name of talk show host Art Bell, and they tried that, and boy, it didn't work out at all. That was a very bad day for that person. They called in the other day. Said, go ahead, give it a try. They tried it, and I guess there was a mauling. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, sounds like you're in a well.
No, I'm not in a well at all.
Well, it sounds like you are.
Art, I have a great story. A few years ago, I was, I experienced what I was told was a hag attack. Have you ever heard of that?
A hag attack?
A hag attack. I read it in a book.
I've been attacked by hags myself.
You have?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Art.
Two or three of them in my life. I mean, they seemed to be nice girls. They seemed to be nice girls when I met them, but oh, did they turn into hags? No, I know. What do you mean by hag?
In I read a book. It was called Vampires Among Us.
Vampires Among Us, yes.
Vampires Among Us. I can't remember the name of the author, but in the book, it talks of hag attacks, and it says that maybe 10 to 15%, even more, of the population has been affected by them. And a few years ago, something happened to me.
Well, what specifically is a hag?
What the book explained it as was exactly this. I was laying in my bed,
yes,
and I was completely awake. I'd only been there for maybe 20 minutes.
Yes.
And from the corner of my room, inside of the vent that the heater comes from, I saw a black, like a black ball.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, over the next few seconds, this ball turned into a larger, yeah, a larger ball and came through the vent.
Yeah, yeah. You know, both open closet doors and vents, which lead into cavernous areas connected to each other, have got to be breeding grounds for crap like this. But anyway, so it came out the vent.
It came out the vent. I tried to think that maybe it was just my imagination. Mm. I grabbed my hands. I pulled my hands up, and it became larger, like a huge moving ink blot, and started to, like, well, it didn't, but the room, I noticed a smell, and I became nervous, and I tried to get up. I couldn't. It became larger, and it hovered over me. I became completely frightened, more fear than anything I'd ever experienced. I tried to move. I could barely move my head over. I couldn't move my arms. I saw it growing larger and larger. I closed my eyes. It began to press me, like, into my bed. I tried to scream. Gurgles came through my throat. My grandparents were down the hall. There was no way they could hear me gurgles when I tried to scream.
Mm-hmm.
I was pressed inside my bed.
You mean a scream? A scream turned into a nothing more than
I couldn't even get a breath out. It was so intense, and I couldn't believe this was happening to me instantly. Like the last caller who said that he prayed to Jesus and he tried to get something, nothing happened.
Mm.
Well, that wasn't the case for me. I prayed to Jesus and I prayed to the Lord and I asked them to cast this, whatever it was, out of my room, and it took no longer than 10 minutes. It felt like an hour.
And it smelled really bad.
Like rotten eggs.
Like rotten eggs. Okay, well, we're going to dub that one the Mr. Hinky Monster. It hovered over him. And it was foul. That's actually scary stuff, you know. I mean, it's really scary stuff. What are these things? What are these things? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going? Yeah, I have an entity attack story.
You too, huh? I mean,
yes.
I've got this special entity attack line, and you guys, there's so many of them, you're leaking into my other lines. Okay.
Well, you know, it's amazing to think, though, that how common I think it actually is.
Apparently.
Yeah, it's, I think, well, I have a theory on what happened, but first let me tell you what happened to me.
Sure.
Okay, when I was about eight years old, I remember I was at a house that I was living at with my grandparents and my father, and, his ex-wife, to be. Well, I was in the room, okay, and I was scared, you know, just basically because of the dark. I didn't like sleeping in the dark, but so then my dad left the front door or the bedroom door open with the hall light on so that I wouldn't be quite as afraid. Well, I began to lay down, and I remember I was still, you know, kind of scared, and I laid there for a while, and I remember feeling afraid still, but I hit my head under the covers, you know, like kids do.
Oh. Nice.
But I was too afraid to go to sleep, so I know I was 100% awake, and I felt a presence like I have through my life at many times, actually, but I felt this presence, and I was on a bunk bed, and I was on the top bunk, and whatever this was, of course, I believe it was a spirit, well, it pushed me on my chest. Now, when it pushed me on my chest, it didn't just, like, push me in, you know, I felt a push. I mean, it pushed me.
If I'd been on the bottom bunk, I would have seen this giant indentation forming, right, as it pressed toward me.
You would have also heard the thump that came when I bounced off the bed and hit the ceiling. directly from it, and
I hit the ceiling
because it was really close to the ceiling anyways, and it was a pretty bouncy mattress, but when it pushed me and I bounced and I hit the ceiling,
yeah.
I remember I was so frozen with fear, you know, and I could barely like yell, but when I finally was able to, man, my dad, he knew I was like scared, so he came in there and I told him something pushed me, and I told him that it hurt my chest, and so he opened up my chest. And, you know, it's funny with all the stories that you've had on your program.
Yes, sir.
Of people saying that there are handprints and things. Well, sure enough, I had two handprints on my chest.
Oh,
and,
brother.
Which is weird, you know, because it's like, but anyway.
No, it's not weird because it verifies what you just said. What did your dad say?
Well, my dad and my family, I mean, I don't mean to sound, you know, like everybody's got their ghost stories and stuff, but my family, we've been very... very open to these types of occurrences, but, you know, it's like...
Yeah, but I, you know, I'm not going to say these aren't ghosts, because who the heck really knows?
Exactly.
But
I think I do. I do know that they are personally from within, but that's just something different. I myself...
Oh, you believe from within, you know, the monster of the id. In other words, you created this thing yourself?
More my perception itself of its existence. Like, in other words, why would it actually have the ability to physically assault somebody if it's not physical? I believe it's because of the awareness of what it wants to do. And sometimes if you are fearful, like a child often is,
yes,
then it preys on fear, and that which is of fear becomes and manifests into physical. See what I mean?
Well, yeah, I see exactly what you mean, and I think that that's entirely possible, that the amount of fear...
Uh-huh.
Is actually able, or an emotion, is able to generate that which is feared. It builds on itself, and it feeds on itself, and you create it. Yes,
exactly.
That's as good an explanation as any.
And perfect love, you know, it's been said in the Bible, you know, not that I'm a Bible thumper, but, you know, it's like, I can see validity in all religions. By faith, I'm a Christian, but I couldn't see Jesus giving Buddha a black eye, you know. But I think without a doubt, hands down, that perfect love, as it says, casts out fear, but I think perfect love comes through being wise through the years, right? And basically through growing as a human being. But when you're a child, you're naive and you're sensitive to these things. And that's why it comes to children a lot.
Can you know perfect love without having experienced perfect fear, perfect anger, perfect depression? You know, in other words, can you understand perfect love until you've been the other place?
Well, you know, believe it or not, my personal feel on that is that when you actually feel perfect love and when you experience it and you find it, of course it does come through rising above not being perfect. But see, rising above not being perfect has to come through serious pain.
Pain is
the medicine of the soul.
That's what I think too, sir. Thank you very, very much for the call. I just don't think you could know it, certainly not appreciate it, unless you had experienced the opposite. On my entity attack line, you are on the air. Hello.
I'm Richard in Houston.
Hi, Richard.
About 1979, I was sleeping here beside my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up, something was pushing me down onto the mattress. And I couldn't see anything. I could see the ceiling and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was desperate. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't yell. I tried to yell, and all that came up was a little bitty squeak out of my voice, and I was frantic.
Was it like hands pressing?
No, it was a weight on my entire body.
All right, so an overall weight.
Overall weight.
Okay.
And I struggled and struggled and struggled harder, and I was getting desperate for breath. And I must have struggled harder or something. It just gave up, because when it quit, when it let up, the mattress rose an inch or two, and then it was gone. And
if you had not struggled against it, what do you think would have happened?
I have no idea. I was in a panic.
Well, I'm sure you were, but you didn't consider what might have occurred.
Well, no. You mean let it give in to it?
Well, or not, just not struggled. Perhaps somebody else might have imagined they couldn't struggle against something like this, and they would have just submitted.
I don't know. I know it was heavier than I am. I weighed 200.
So,
oh, by the way,
yes?
Can I mention one more thing?
Yes.
That sound you have with a Bigfoot?
Yes.
That's not a Bigfoot. That's a U.S. Navy sonar.
Well, people have
how
said,
do I know?
People, well, yeah, but how do I know is more important.
I know
questions.
The sound. I'm a retired chief sonarman, and I heard that sound
I've
many,
heard
many
this.
Hours.
Believe me, I've heard this. But we have providence on this sound, sir. In other words, we know who recorded it, where they were in the woods, not undersea. A lot of people have said it sounds like sonar, and I understand that it does sound a little bit like that. But trust me when I tell you we have the providence on this tape, and that it is not sonar. We know who recorded it and where. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Art?
Yes?
Well, you cut me off on the other line, but I have an attack story, but I wasn't alone. I had someone with me.
What do you mean?
Well, I was with my girlfriend in the desert, and this happened in March of 1993.
And what happened?
Well, I was observing some lights about 100 miles away coming from the south, going due north. Looked like it was coming from San Diego up over Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And I observed this for about 10 minutes. I called my girlfriend's attention to this. We were camping out near 29 Palms.
Right.
And I did my last year and a half in the Navy at Top Gun. There's so many aircraft flying around down there, it's
sure
hard to keep track of them.
Sure.
But this one got my attention, and I couldn't tell you exactly why, but, and this sounds bizarre, but I've never told anyone this story.
Well, we've got less than a minute, so.
Well, I'm dying to know if there's other people that had something like this happen, but this ball, this
yes.
light ball came out of this large craft, and it came right up in front of us, about 48 inches away. It was about the size of a basketball. It was extremely brilliant. Looked like the end of a sparkler. And it literally, I could feel it scan my brain quickly. And then it went to my girlfriend, and it spent some time with her, and then it left. It was shot up into the sky and went back to this large craft. She was very traumatized by this and spent about 8 months in therapy.
Boy, that's some story. And you sound okay, huh?
Well, we were frightened to death.
I believe me, I understand. All right, thank you very much. From a craft, a ball of light scanning the brain, and then wonder what it did with the information that it downloaded from you, apparently. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001.
From the land where things go perump in the night. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell. Great to be here. We've got a special line open for entity attacks. It's my entity attack line. Only those who have actually been physically attacked by an entity qualify. Any other calls
can delve into any subject you wish. It's an open line Friday night, Saturday morning. And if you'll stay right there, we'll get right back to it. Well, you should see some of the fast blasts that I'm getting tonight. Shelley in California writes, I was attacked by a spirit who plunged a butcher knife into my pillow and then told me what he wanted. Shelley, you should fast blast me your phone number. No one else will see it, just me. And I'll call you and we'll get that story on the air. So if you have a similar story, and it's really a very, very good one, you know, you can fast blast me a phone number, and I'd be more than happy to get hold of you. In the meantime, the lines are jammed, so the odds of any single person making it through are, you know, somewhat slim. On my entity attack line, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good, sir. Mr. Paul calling from KSTE.
Sacramento, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm a assistant pastor in church. 6 feet nine, 370 pounds.
You are 6 feet nine, 370?
Yes, sir.
Ay, ay, ay. So and you're not like a bouncer for the church, right?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, okay. Of course not. This is what happened, sir. Even I don't believe it, but it happened. Matter of fact, it happened this year in March. I was in bed sleeping. Next thing you know, of course, I have a specialized California king-size bed to sleep in.
Uh-huh.
I'm so big. It went through, right through the door, that entity. It went right through the door. I'm looking right at it, and it's coming right towards me. And just about, I'm getting ready to leap on it, because I thought it was someone who, you know, broke in the house.
Yeah, of course.
And when I looked at it, I said, whoa, no face.
No face.
It's like...
That's bad.
Yes, very bad. No face. It wasn't walking. It was gliding towards me.
Gliding, another bad sign.
No hands.
Real bad.
And it said, I'm going to get you.
Oh, man.
I said, I'm sorry, but you're not going to get me.
Oh.
And all of a sudden, it stopped. It reversed, floated. If I'm not going to get you, I'm going to get your wife. He went towards my wife, grabbed her ankles, threw her off the bed onto the floor. It hit her head and whole body hit the floor, big loud thump.
God.
Immediately I got up and I wanted to just, of course, beat the hell out of whatever it was. Immediately, as soon as I turned the light on, it was gone.
And your wife?
And my wife, on her ankles, she's a very light-skinned woman.
Right.
And there was two marks. Should say not two, but two hand imprints, eight in total, and look like imprints of a hand. And immediately, we're looking at it up her. This is on the ankle now. Up, going up from the ankle towards her middle inner thigh, it started to bleed. This skin started to bleed. Immediately, of course, I applied pressure on it and stopped.
Was there a physical cut, you know, a reason for the bleeding, or was this just blood through the skin?
This is just a blood coming from and through the skin. No cut at all.
Holy moly.
And it's amazing because, remember, it's happened in March of this year.
Yes.
I'm a heart patient. A month later...
You're lucky to still be alive now.
That's correct. A month later, I was in the hospital in San Francisco, and the same thing happened to me again. On my supposed to be there for a couple of days. I was there for 3 weeks in the hospital. What happened was on the third night, my heart stopped. Yeah, it just stopped. I didn't know it stopped. Because immediately off to the right, there was the same entity again. It reminded me of the headless, what's it called?
Headless horseman?
Yes. Uh-huh. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, the hood is a hood.
Oh.
No face. Just, and it said, it's time to come with me now. I looked at him, I said, I'm not scared of you, whoever you are, and I'm not coming with you. Immediately, it said that it was coming towards me,
yeah.
And then automatically, the nurse or the doctor was putting those two, what's it called, stuff to...
Paddles?
Yeah, paddles on my chest. Immediately, I woke up. And I said, what happened? They said, I went into heart failure, and my heart stopped for the last 8 seconds.
Holy smokes. Listen, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but I am curious.
Yes.
What kind of life have you led?
Afterwards?
No. Previously.
What type of life?
Yeah, in other words, let me sort of lay it out this way. It seems as though at critical moments you're having encounters with folks that aren't likely to lead you to the up escalator.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm just kind of curious what kind of life you led.
Oh, got married, a year out of college. I'm 45 years old now. I played professional football for 1 year. Had to stop because of the heart. I was born with a heart problem.
Who did you play for?
Seattle Seahawks.
You played for the Seahawks?
Yes. And then after I got waived, my wife is from Hawaii. So I went to Hawaii, and I got hired over there on a very prominent bank over there. I stayed there for the last, 18, 19 years. Just got back recently. Again, the heart started to act up again. That's why I had to get out of that banking environment. I was left as senior vice president of the bank.
The banking's probably as bad as professional football for the heart.
Yes, it is. But it's just, again, I've been listening to the program the last 15 years, and I was inclined to call because this is true. I can't believe it. I mean, it only happened once. It happened twice. And it's very, 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 I wasn't scared. It's just, wife is petrified.
Would have done the trick for me. What's it like listening to other people with, you know, somewhat similar stories?
Well,
must be strange. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people think this only happens to them and maybe in the movies.
Oh, no. Again, I remember I used to be an assistant pastor in the church.
Right.
Had to stop because of the heart. I heard many, many stories in the church. I went to with Catholic pastor. I'm sorry, what's called those guys?
Could have been a bishop.
Yeah, it could have been about 5 years ago to help assist him exercise a person, and I my wife firmly believes that whatever it was probably following me because the person it took about a long time to get that energy out of the particular individual, and it was very very nerve wracking because it takes a lot of years to go through this training. And at the time, again, I had the heart problem.
Well, I hope in the future, any future crisis you have brings something a little brighter, to light your way, my friend. Thank you so much for the call.
Oh, you're welcome, sir.
You take care. Wow. You never know. I mean, when you open up these kinds of lines, you never know what you're going to get. And we're definitely getting our money's worth tonight. I had no idea that there really were so many. There are so many of you out there that have been attacked in such a violent way. It's astounding. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
I went to Job Corps back in the early '80s and met a guy that. Told me stories about how him and his family were severely attacked by demons all the time, and that his little brother and stuff would end up with black eyes and just bad luck all the time. I mean, it was horrible the way he described his life. They'd be like driving out of the parking lot and the wheels would fall off their cars, and just numerous accounts of just horrible encounters with different type of entities in their home and stuff. And we were talking one night, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, right up in the little corner of the room, it was like there were tens of thousands of angels in a circle looking down on us. It was like all these eyes were just beaming down on us.
Yes.
And I know this sounds really freaky, but I'm telling you, at the same time, we both seen it, and just chills just went up and down our body. And it was the most frightening thing. I mean, it was frightening, but in another sense, it was kind of...
Well, maybe that was a circle of protection.
It may have been. But I tell you, and when I was, me and my brother were children, we used to get visited by this woman called the Doss Doll Woman. She used to climb down out of the attic from the closet.
She lived or appeared in, she lived in that closet, you believe?
Yeah, she came down out of the attic every night.
Every night?
Yeah, and she would look at us and stuff. She was a dark figure. And, I mean, you talk about two scared kids. We were horrified. Our hair would stand up on the back of our necks and just goosebumps all over us. And we would try to scream, and you couldn't get nothing out, you know, because you're so horrified. And
what did she want?
I don't know. We told our mom and dad about it. And our mom, she kind of believed us, but our dad, you know, he always was real skeptical. He didn't believe anything. And one night, it sounded like somebody was setting the table in the dining room with knives, forks, spoons, plates, just like somebody was setting the table.
Right.
Like about 2:30 in the morning.
Yes.
And my brother and I, we were petrified, you know, because we had this room right off the dining room, and my mom and dad were in the front of the house, and we were witnessing all this stuff, and we could see like two legs, white legs. Do you know what I mean? Like the pajamas of the old-fashioned pajamas?
Sure.
Yeah, with the, like, lace around the bottom?
Sure, sure.
Now, we would see two legs jumping over the table back and forth and then walk around the table, and you could hear plates and stuff being set out on the table. Then the spirit would come through the doorway there into our room and walk around our bed and grab our legs and stuff. And it was just horrible. I mean, we were petrified kids for a long time. We lived with this, you know, and this is the first time I've ever told anybody, you know, and I know a lot of people are hearing this right now, but...
Yeah, it's not something you would... Yeah, but it's a better way to be able to tell this kind of thing, really, because what people would think if you told them this.
Yeah, and I tell you, we've had so many things happen, Art. It's I could go on and on and on.
Well,
we're the ones that had the rocks raining on us.
Rocks raining on you?
Yes, this is very true. In California, Missouri, it rained rocks on us for 3 days.
Yep, I know. Someone else gave us that a little while ago. I find that, you know, I have a hard time with that one. 3 days of rocks. Should have had lots of pictures, huh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was me.
Yes, it is. Where are you?
I'm in Hickson, Tennessee.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Mary. I've been listening to you for a long time. How's your back, by the way?
Actually, Mary, it's better than it's been in a long, long time.
Good. I'm glad. We missed you, or I did anyway.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you about the attacks also.
Okay.
All my life, myself and my family have been attacked by things. With most of the time, it's in the bed or in the bedroom.
Yep, that seems to be almost a constant.
In fact, one night, something was grabbing my hand like it was trying to pull me out of bed.
Oh.
Another night, I woke up, I couldn't breathe, and I just saw two red eyes and this black figure.
Red eyes?
Red eyes.
I hate red eyes.
I don't like them either. It scared me. And yeah. That happened more than once. I couldn't breathe, I couldn't scream, I couldn't move. It was like a battle of will.
Yeah.
That's the only way I could describe it, was a battle of will to get this thing off of me. I have had out-of-body experiences, and I've been chased by them.
I know, I really like to ask this question. If you hadn't resisted, if you had let this thing, this black thing with red eyes, proceed to what it was going to do. If you'd been frozen in fear and couldn't have moved, what do you think would have happened?
Well, I was frozen, but it wasn't in fear. I just couldn't move. But I think it was trying to take me over. I believe this.
Possession.
Yeah. And it's not just myself this has happened to. It's happened to my husband. It's happened to a couple of my brothers.
Well, the thing about possession is we have no way of knowing how many possessed people there are. I mean, it may well be that the changes in personality, at least in the beginning, are fairly subtle. But the possession increasingly takes control once it occurs. And how would we ever know, any of us here on Earth, how many are really possessed?
I don't know about anyone else, but I can feel if there's something wrong with people. And I can usually see it in their aura.
Well, there certainly are people where, you know, you just immediately know something is really wrong.
I believe my father was possessed because he was one of the most evil men I ever met in my life.
Your own father?
My own father. I believe he was possessed because he enjoyed hurting people. And he didn't care who knew. And he was charismatic. He was like the devil incarnate himself.
You mean in other ways he was charismatic? Yeah.
He could be cruel and mean, and nobody seemed to see it.
Huh.
Even though he was being mean and cruel to them. It's like they couldn't tell.
Hmm.
But I've always had a sense about it, and people that are like that, I can't be around.
The satin shiv, you know.
I don't know what it is, but I'm real sensitive to, I guess, spirits and things. I see things. I know things. Scary things.
Well,
I know when people are going to die.
You do?
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe it simply runs in the family.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the Indian background in our family.
Oh.
Because Indians tend to be more inclined to be open to spirits. And I believe my mother, her family was, her line was medicine woman.
Well, you've got a pretty serious background there.
Yeah.
And so I guess that accounts for a lot of it. I wonder why she, though, with her sensitivity, ended up marrying a man who had this incredible mean streak.
Well, hers was more in the healing arts. She could heal with anything. She had a lot of used a lot of the Indian ways to heal.
But why would she have been attracted to such a mean man? Have you?
I'm
ever...
not sure.
Uh-huh.
I think she was her second husband. And he promised to take care of her and her family and treat her kids as if they were his own. But he didn't. He did, too, I guess, because he was equally cruel.
Equally cruel.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, I've got to scoot. Thank you.
Well, I thank you. And I have one more question.
Well, you'll have to hold on then.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th. 2001.
An old time movie about a ghost from a wishing well, in a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost is me.
Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 7th, 2001.
Good morning from the high desert and a little town called Pahrump, Nevada. to the nation, actually to the world. We're talking about, well, mainly entity attacks tonight. No shortage of stories there, to be sure. Only physical attacks need apply. All other lines, anything you want to talk about. But interestingly, even those have been filling up with attack stories. Ever expect you'd hear so many? I certainly didn't. But then again, I'm constantly surprised on this program. Well, if you're out there driving across the country tonight, in the middle of the night, in the darkness, you're probably spending a lot of time looking in the rearview mirror, I'd suspect. All right, my caller, east of the Rockies here, had something else. Go ahead.
Hi. Also, earlier this week, I heard that Dick Clark is going to be hosting the New Year's celebration in New York.
Is he really?
Yeah, as soon as he said that, I got a flash, and I'm worried that something else is going to happen in New York.
Well,
like they've not had enough trouble.
Yeah, New Yorkers are worried about that, too. Thank you very much. Yeah, a lot of people concerned about that, not the least of which would be New Yorkers. Everybody's concerned about it. And we really need to be extremely cautious, by the way. Even though we're hearing that, you know, we're mopping up and wrapping up with the Taliban in Afghanistan, this is far from over. Far from over. And so we really need to remain on alert and expect about anything, and we'll probably get it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hi. I have a couple of quick stories to tell you.
Oh.
I'll give you the first one that's more amazing than the other, but... the first one is, when I was a young man, 22, I shared an apartment going through school with some roommates, and we started messing around with the Ouija board, and I have to catch my breath because this still sets me back a few steps just to think about it. We did the Ouija board, and we saw some things happening. We saw the doors open and close by themselves. We saw the Ouija board leave the floor and fly off by itself. All kinds of strange things like that. But,
well, you know, listen, playing with Ouija boards, it's not quite as serious as sitting around with some people and trying to sell your soul, but...
Oh, I'm getting to that part.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
For some reason, I decided that I wanted to have power, and I started threatening the devil. And I started saying, you know what? I think Jesus is the king, and I don't think that you are anything, and I think you're fake and you're fraud, and so prove it to me that you are all powerful.
And?
And nothing happened. I walked up to the wall, I stood at the wall, and I held my hands out as though I was Jesus on a cross.
Yeah.
And I said the following. This is very difficult for me to talk about because I'm a Christian and I've renewed my faith, so I don't like to give the devil any more credence than he.
That's all right. Lay it out for us the way it happened.
Well, this is the way it happened. I was up against the wall. I had my hands out. My legs were just, I assumed the position just like Jesus was on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I want to have power. I want to have intercourse with you so that you could put your seed in me so that I could have your power.
You said this to the devil.
Yes. Now, you're only the second person I've told this to. My wife may be listening. I don't remember if I told her or not. But anyway, I'm 34 now.
May I advise you on that subject?
Sure.
Don't tell her.
No. Well, maybe she went to bed. She said she was going to bed.
Good. Yep. Don't tell her that.
But in any case, this is when the light started flickering and things started flying across the room and that kind of thing. When I was a young boy, the second story, when I was a young boy...
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do better than that.
Okay.
And besides that,
uh-huh.
I'm sure you've given it some thought since, but...
Very regretful of it, actually.
Regretful, yeah. What makes you think that you didn't get your wish?
Well, that's very profound. I think at times, perhaps...
You did?
I have. I've done some really things that I'm not proud of. And
I hear you.
I don't like to even think about it. But
all right. Well, look, I'll take it at that. Thank you. I that's freaky. Have you ever listened to people like that man before in your life? People who have either sold their soul to the devil, made a deal, or invited the seed of the devil to live within them? Can you imagine doing that? Ay, ay, ay. That's really freaky stuff. And for every moment of your life after you've done something like that, you would have to wonder if the deal really wasn't consummated. On my entity attack line, you're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Bell?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm calling regarding an attack made on my mother back in the early 80s.
Your mother?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm calling from Victorville, California. It's kind of a comical story, not to make light of the subject, but one evening, we've seen shadows and colors and things in our peripheral vision at times in the house.
Yes,
knocking.
Sir.
And one evening, my mom went to sleep, and she said she was in a real deep sleep that night. For some reason, she's usually a light sleeper. And when she had woken up in the morning, she'd felt some soreness and sensitivity around one of her eyes. I believe it was the left one.
Around her eye, yes.
And she got up and she went into the restroom, and once she wiped the sleep out of her eyes, she looked into the mirror and she noticed some blackening and bruising around her eye.
Oh, really?
And her eyebrow on top of the same eye,
yes,
was plucked to perfection.
To perfection?
To perfection. The thinnest, most perfect plucking she had ever seen in her life.
So it was a cosmetically perfect attack.
Yes, sir. And she did not feel no pain any, while it was happening, but she could tell that it had been plucked because of the sensitivity she had felt in the morning.
Wow.
Yes.
What did she conclude from this, out of curiosity?
We were thinking that was some type of female spirit who was real, if you might say, vain, and had a problem with my mom's eyebrow.
Offended in some way by your mom's eyebrow.
Yes, which my mom did keep plucked and did keep trimmed, but for some reason I believe she was not happy with it and took it upon him or herself to...
Did you happen to notice whether following that attack your mom's eyebrows were plucked regularly and neatly?
No, actually that was the only time that my mom was actually affected by the entity or spirit.
Well, I know, but I was just wondering if she personally... concluded that she should keep her eyebrows in better repair.
No, I think she went, well, obviously she had to match up the other one. So she went ahead and then plucked the other one to try to get it to look like the first one that had been done.
Yeah.
And but she never kept them that way again. She went ahead and let them grow back out.
Well, I tell you, I'd have taken that one as a warning. I really appreciate the story, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Take care. That's the first cosmetic attack I've heard of. Wow. He could not have made that up. I mean, he could have, but I just, it doesn't sound like he could have made that up to me, you know? It's just one of those, it's too bizarre. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Art. I'm a first-time caller. My name's Tina, and I'm calling from the San Gabriel Valley in California.
All right, Tina.
And what I'm calling about is not to change the...
It could use some changing.
Subject.
So go right ahead.
But I think you might be interested in this. I fast-blasted you about the Atlantean Crystal Ball book.
Atlantean Crystal Ball book?
Right. And why I find this interesting, and I think it would be good subject matter for future show, is this book was written in 1989, and
uh-huh.
I just came across it this year. And it has the directions to the city of Atlantis in it on how it could be found, which seem to match up exactly with where Atlantis has currently been found.
Well, well, well.
And along with seven other lost temples that are supposedly still lost, the directions to them, and how this came about, according to this book, this woman was given a crystal ball by Flip Wilson.
Yes.
The comedian.
Right.
And this crystal ball, she didn't know anything about crystal balls, but it started emanating a mist around it, and she started channeling this information.
Channeling, huh?
Yeah, and I don't go for channeling either. But
yeah, you do.
This is just too strange.
Well, I don't actually. Channeling is a reasonable thing to imagine. Certainly could occur. I just, I've always been sort of hesitant about it because you can't prove it.
Well, correct, right. But anyway, this particular crystal ball. This woman was also on several radio channels regarding this crystal ball. And this crystal ball emits so much energy that it caused the radio channel to go dead,
uh-huh.
Which you can imagine would be a scary thing.
Crystal, you see, is a very interesting substance. I have a pure crystal ball that Bob Crane bought for me at some really exorbitant price in Indonesia. It's an absolutely pure crystal ball, and they're very interesting to hold in your hand. A true crystal ball is really something.
Well, this particular crystal ball was brought up by the divers of Jacques Cousteau.
Wow.
From the Atlantic Ocean in between Florida and Cuba.
And Cuba. That would be the area.
Yeah. And it's been, I guess in 1990, it was looked at by a group of gemologists, I guess is what it's called.
Right.
And they said that this particular crystal ball was by no means man-made. They'd never seen anything like it. And it was bathed in, I can't remember, it's a green lake. It escapes me the name of it. But anyway, they put it in this green lake, and it absorbs the color of green afterwards.
Oh.
And it blows up telephones and fax machines and refrigerators, and they ended up having to put this crystal ball in a safe away from electrical things because it was causing so many problems. But why I thought you might find it interesting is because you've had past guests talking to you about magnetic energy.
Crystal ball like that would utterly destroy the room I'm in right now.
Yeah, well, you couldn't have it there from according to what I've read.
No, no, no.
It would give you a whole new thing to be afraid of.
My dear, it would send me back to the Stone Age. I have so many electronics in here that it would be all over.
Yeah, but it talks about these other temples that are still lost, but there's crystal balls in these temples.
Well, we shouldn't be surprised at this because there was an obvious technology in these ancient times that we don't have now, that we haven't remembered or relearned, or a science path we haven't gone down, but they had some sort of technology and power that we don't have a clue about.
Right, and that's exactly what this book, The Channeled Message, is saying, that when Atlantis was found, that at that point they would also be finding these other temples with the crystal balls in them, and that's where the hidden secret of magnetic energy and how to create magnetic energy would be found, and we would then learn, how to store it and harvest it.
I'll go for this. Perhaps we would learn how to channel it. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very, very much for the call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello there.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right, sir. Where are you?
I'm in Chicago.
Chicago. All right. Turn your radio off. That's very
good. Oh, God, you can hear it all the way over there?
Oh,
I apologize.
That's right. I have very good hearing.
Wait, way, way on the other side of the room.
I know. I will wait.
Hold on one second.
Yes, I'll wait. Very important that actually you have your radio near your phone so that you can immediately turn it off. Because of the delay.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm calling about the streetlight phenomenon that I've experienced in my life for over about 12 years now.
They go off as you approach.
And, well, actually, I have both. I have them go on and off.
Mm-hmm.
I first noticed that I've lived in Chicago my whole life, except for a period of about 2 years I lived in New Jersey.
Okay.
And I first noticed this in New Jersey. I worked a night job, and my hours varied every night coming home. So it was always a random time. It was never the same time. And the same street light on the highway on the way home would either turn on or turn off as I approached or went by.
And what do you make out of this?
I'm not sure, because now I'm back in Illinois. I've been in Illinois for 10 years now, and I had the same phenomenon happen here with several street lights, one on my block where I live and several in the town. And I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what it could be.
If only you could convert this power to turning red lights green.
Something like that. I don't know. I take it maybe as...
You're not alone. I mean,
maybe a guardian angel trying to show me something that they're there.
Maybe. But I can tell you there are many, many people who experience what you experience, so you're not alone.
Yeah, so I mean, I've never heard anybody ever talk about this, and I've never talked about it to anybody.
Trust me.
I heard it on your show about 2 weeks ago. I was like, my God.
Yeah.
It's just something
a street
very bizarre.
Bro. All right, sir. Thank
and
you
they don't just come on. They come on and or go off. So it's not one way or the other.
I've got it.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. No, it is more common than you would imagine. It really does happen. On my entity attack line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Where are you?
Jacksonville, Florida.
All right. Have you been attacked?
Yeah, it happened about 8 years ago. I heard a gentleman earlier talking about how he was laying in bed next to his wife and something was pressing down on him.
That's right.
And I had the exact same experience. And when I heard that, man, it was chilling to the bone. I was laying in bed next to my wife. And the only thing I could equate it to is these void black creatures like in the movie Ghost.
Yes.
That were pressing down my hands, holding them down.
Yes.
And kind of like pressing on my chest, choking me.
Yes.
I could barely squeak out her name also, you know, trying to call her name out. I almost had the power to or the strength to just almost press them back, you know, to sit up, but they would just kind of like press me back down.
Right.
Well, she actually woke up hearing me try to, you know, say her name, and
right.
the minute she said what's wrong, these things were gone, and I sprung up out of bed, you know, with the coldest sweat you ever could imagine. I was spooked. It was just way too scary.
You told her about it?
Oh yeah, I told her about it, and I told several people about it, and they're like, man, that's just too weird.
Did you see anything?
Yeah, it was more than one, but I can't tell you whether it was three or four.
Was the pressure on you sort of an even overall pressure, or could you feel extremities pushing you down?
It was extremities. It was like around my chest or throat area and around my hands, holding my hands down, and like I said, they were kind of like faceless, dark figures. And I saw a picture of your shadow people where it was like on your website where it shows like hooded faceless figures with no legs and kind of like a cloak.
And that's roughly what you saw?
That's roughly them. And when I saw that picture, it spooked me too.
Oh, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad it is over, right?
Oh, yeah. It's only happened once. And as you can tell, I don't sleep well at night anymore.
Once will do for that sort of thing. Thank you.
You have a good night.
You too, sir. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001.
think, inside that they mean so much. The sight of a touch or the scent of a sand or the strength of an oak roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories hoard. And to use them to help.
Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001.
Good morning. We've got a entity attack line open. As usual, when I do this kind of thing, we're getting more than we bargained for by far. It's a Friday night, Saturday morning, generally open lines, without exception, and it actually has dominated. So if you'll stay right where you are, and I imagine you're fairly frozen in place anyway if you've been listening, we'll get to more of it in a moment. And back into the night we go. Good morning, you're on the air on Coast to Coast AM. Where are you, please?
Hi, this is David in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Hey, David.
How are you this morning?
I'm fine. You fast-blasted me and said you had a story, and I called you, so what's up?
Yeah, it's actually pretty frightening to even recount, but I'll do my best to make it as quick as possible.
Sure.
Basically, it occurred over a three-week period or so when I was nine. I went through this period of waking up at night and really frightened. And you know what happens when you're nine and you're really frightened? You have to make a trip to the little boy's room.
Right away.
Yeah. And, of course, once you're there, you're kind of stuck for a few minutes. And anyway, I would run to the bathroom, and I would feel this entity or something evil coming toward the bathroom down the hall. And it was like the longer I was in there, the stronger the presence became. And, you know, I would finish what I was doing and immediately dash back into my bed and throw the covers over my head, and I could feel this presence all around me.
I always wonder about people say, I finished what I was doing. To me, you know, once this thing's on the way, what you're doing isn't going on anymore.
Well, but, you know, after a few times, it kept getting closer, and so you're less and less finished when you're pulling your clothes back on.
I see. All right.
But, yeah, so anyway, one night it kind of came to a head, and the thing made it to just outside the door, whatever it was. You know, it was just a feeling of fear.
Yes.
And I ran. I wouldn't look to the right. I ran. My bedroom was to the left, and I ran, and I dove one of the covers, and I could hear the thing walking toward me, whatever it was. And I wouldn't, of course, look out from under the cover.
Right.
And I was scared, really, really scared, too scared to scream. Walked up right beside the bed, stopped.
Yes.
And there was a pause. Something grabbed me by the neck, jerked me straight up in the bed.
My. Yes?
It wasn't choking me. And there was no pressure or anything like that. But it physically pulled me straight up in the bed. And I couldn't scream because I was too scared, not because I was choking. And when I finally let go, it was one of those blood-curdling, you know how when a male is really scared, it's very different when they scream than a female.
Oh, yes.
And anyway, so I screamed, and my dad was an ex-paratrooper, you know, born-again hard type. And he comes out of his bedroom with his gun in his hand, and because I guess that scream, he must have taken it pretty seriously, and flipped on the light. And he looked at me and, you know, and immediately was kind of mad at me. It's like, what's wrong with you, boy? And that kind of thing. And I couldn't say anything. I was just too scared. And he looked down at the floor, and there was a pair of boots beside the bed.
A pair of boots?
Yeah. I know this sounds really odd, but this is entirely true.
Okay.
And then if you looked back down the hallway, which light was on because my mother was up as well, there were muddy boot prints.
Oh, and, my
Yeah, I went back into the living room. So he yells at everyone to get down on the floor, and he runs off into the living room with his gun in his hand.
Sure.
Turning on lights as he goes.
Sure.
He emptied the, I believe it was a Browning 380 automatic. It was an old, I think it was an old military issue of some sort. And, all the shots rang out, and of course, we're all really frightened by now. And a few minutes later, my dad returns, and he's white as a sheet. My mother's calling the police, and the police finally arrive, only to, when they go to come in the house, at that point in time, my dad realizes that all the doors and windows are locked and had been. They had never been unlocked. No one had entered through a door or a window.
Holy smokes. And what did the police say about all this?
Well, they didn't know what to say other than they saw the results of all the gunshots, which was a string of bullet holes down the living room wall. So evidently this thing had been moving, and my dad saw it, whatever it was.
And shot at it.
And shot at it. And repeatedly. I think it was like, I don't know if it was a 9 or a 13-round clip in those. I don't recall, but, I mean, it was a lot of shots.
My God, that's some story.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And absolutely true.
It was worth the call. Thank you.
Okay, and one other thing. He would never tell me what he saw. I don't know what he told the police. I guess he was trying to keep me from being overly frightened again. But from that point on, we always had lights on at night.
I hear you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Wow. Huh. Well, I have always felt that there is intrinsic safety value in covers. I know it really sounds stupid, right? But when you're a kid, you pull the covers over you. And I think you still do that, by the way, when you're an adult. And that's because I think we all sort of half believe that there is some intrinsic value in the covers being over you. On the other hand, that may be totally in error and nothing but a myth, and you could be made of bloody pulp, covers or not. Whew. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Buffalo, listening to you on WBEN.
Yes, sir. Buffalo, New York.
And I have an entity attack story. Although this is quite different than the ones I've been hearing tonight. This happened in the daytime.
In the daytime?
Yes. I lived in a house that wasn't quite right. I was a child for a while. We lived in an apartment that was... other things were living there as well.
Like what?
Ghosts. And I was quite young, and I'd always get up first thing in the morning, and everybody else in the house would be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd hear a woman call out my name. This happened repeatedly, and I mean, days on end or weeks on end. And finally, I just got accustomed to it, and one day I decided to ignore it. And I guess she didn't like that too much. She grabbed my arm, whipped it behind my head, and basically I got slapped. I didn't see anything. I got slapped upside the head and hacked a tooth out.
And you lost a tooth?
I lost a tooth.
All right. Could you see her or only sense her?
I didn't. I only heard her.
You only heard her?
Yeah, because I used to get...
Okay, but this is a very serious physical attack, so you felt arms on you, and you felt all this leverage and this terrible slap, and it must have been like an invisible something attacking you.
Yeah, it was like I was being reprimanded or something, because before, in times past, I'd get up and search around the house, and who's there, or what do you want, or...
Right.
And finally, it just happened so much, I got accustomed to it, so I decided to ignore it. And she didn't like it too much.
Wow. What finally changed? I mean, it's not still going on, right?
No, well, we moved from there, and we moved out of town.
And when you moved, she did not follow.
She did not follow, but a couple years later, we had moved back. And when we moved out, my brother, he wasn't old enough to walk or talk yet. And we drove past the house as we were coming back into town.
Yes.
And my father goes, hey, we used to live there. And he goes, to my brother, you remember that place? He goes, yeah, that was a house with all the monsters in it.
I appreciate the call, sir.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, and take care. Now, rarely, if ever, do you hear of somebody moving or leaving and whatever it is following. Therefore, that has got to be regarded, if this is really serious for you, as one solution, you know, to getting away from it, and that is to get the hell out. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Art?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Rick. I'm in Nashville.
Hello, Rick.
My story is I know it's late, but it's kind of lengthy because it entails many years.
Well, try and boil it down.
I will boil it down.
Okay.
It started when I was 8. I was staying with my grandparents for a weekend, and this was up in Massachusetts. And when I lived up there, and I was on their couch one night sleeping. My sister was in the bedroom. We would switch out. You know, one night she'd sleep in the bed, and one night I'd sleep in the bed. And I was laying there in bed one night, and it was, you know, it was probably, you know, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Pitch black. And there's no lights on in the house. And I was just, I couldn't sleep that night for some reason. And I was just laying there with my eyes open. And there's this big green face that comes up in front of me.
A green face?
A very green face. It was the face of a man.
Okay.
But it was enormous. It kind of like, you know, you picture like the Wizard of Oz type thing.
Yes.
Only
the wizard was a little runt.
Well, it ended up being a little runt. I'm talking about the, you know, the big green head.
Oh, I see. I see. The presentation of the wizard.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Well, it was similar to that, only this face spoke to me.
Oh.
Yes. And informed me that for the rest of my life, he would see to it that everything that I tried to do would fail. My kids would die. All kinds of things like that. And, of course, I was scared to death.
Holy smokes.
Well, this doesn't end there. The green face never came back. Then it was similar things as I got older.
Yeah, but what about its promise?
Oh, yeah. I'll get to that.
Okay.
As I got older, I would start being attacked physically, mainly just laying in bed, and this I would feel an evil presence, and it would, you know, like a lot of other people, a pressure on my chest, not being able to move, not being able to scream, not being able to say anything. You know, of course, I didn't know what it was, and like a lot of other people, they don't know exactly what it is. When I got married a few years ago,
yes,
I started going to church, and I started learning about things like, you know, what quote unquote demons and things like that can do, and what they're capable of, and, you know,
uh-huh,
how they're agents of the devil and blah blah blah.
Yes.
And that answered a lot of questions for me. As far as these attacks, but the attacks didn't stop. As a matter of fact, they became, when I started going to church, they became more frequent.
More frequent.
Yes. And I, you know, I went to my pastor and was like, you know, how do I deal with this? You know, and my wife.
Did you tell your pastor the whole story? The green man, everything.
Oh yeah, everything. The whole 9 years.
And how did he react?
He said, "Well, he was not surprised at all."
Really?
Yeah. And he said, "This is what you need to do." And of course, you know, it's like that man that called from Memphis earlier about, you know, he had sold his soul, or experimented,
yes,
with selling his soul to the devil, and and all that, and then when he was being attacked, you know, he tried screaming out the name of Jesus, and it didn't work.
Right.
Well, come to find out, for me, that started working.
Well, maybe if you've made your deal, so to speak, and the contract is signed, then none of the small print works.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. You know, maybe it's like, you know, if you sell your soul to Satan himself,
then invoking the name of Jesus is not going to help you.
Does you no good. That's, you know, right. And I just wonder, as many people as you've had on here that have these attack stories of these entities or demons or shadow people or whatever you want to call them, what percentage of those people believe in God?
I don't know. Does it surprise you, though, that we have had so many stories of physical attacks? Hardly anybody ever asked about that, so I thought I would because of a couple calls I got. But, I mean, they're just flooding in, physical attacks. Does that surprise you?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all. And the reason why I say that, of course, I'm very, you know, me being a Christian person, you know, I believe in, you know, Satan. I know he's there. I know that he's got all these, you know, agents out there, so to speak.
Well, I guess if you begin to have some fatal disease and you're fading away on your deathbed and you see the green guy, you're going to know it went wrong.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. That would be really unsettling, wouldn't it? To have a green guy, a big green face, tell you that your life virtually is over. That everything you try to do is going to fail. That children you bear will die. To be told that and then to begin to have it all come true. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
My name is Jason. I'm in Hermosa Beach, California.
Hi, Jason.
I'm somewhat of a Star Trek fan. I don't follow everything. But the new show, Enterprise,
yes,
had a strange correlation to a show that you had on, I believe it was two nights ago, with Dan Aykroyd and David Sirita.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Speaking of the Dropa Stones and
right,
the experiments that NASA did with the tether.
And the Dropa Stone-shaped craft that,
yes,
were miles long, and then there was a photograph taken by the lady of the Dropa.
Yes.
And yes, oh yes.
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 Well, anyways, in this week's episode of the new Star Trek Enterprise show, mm-hmm, the Enterprise came across an alien vessel that was on its way to a protostar. That the people that were on the vessel were going to this protostar because they believed that once every 11 years it gave off a neutron blast that represented the beginning of the universe.
Right.
So, ironically enough, in the greeting of this alien civilization, one of the members, the spokesman, gives the captain of the Enterprise a clock that looks very, very suspiciously like one of the Dropa Stones. It was a,
yes,
a clear crystal type thing, but it was, yes, the same round shape with
a
little notch in it.
There you go.
And
you know what I think? You know what I think?
What's that?
I think that the people who write the scripts for things like Star Trek and other science fiction,
mm-hmm,
monitor what's really going on in the world right now.
Yes, yes.
And wouldn't it be irresistible to take a shape like that,
yes,
and weave it into your story?
Yes. And of course, this is supposed to be a future extension of NASA,
mm-hmm,
itself.
Yes.
Which is what really drew me to the correlation. And apparently what this guy told was that this clock charts time from the beginning of the universe. So I thought that was
very
interesting. Quite interesting.
Yes. Well, again, I really think that they take a few pages from what's really going on out there. I certainly would.
Yes.
If I were writing that kind of a story, so that may indeed be the case.
Yes, definitely.
Really neat. I appreciate that. I'm going to have to start watching that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you take care.
Thank you. You too.
Mm-hmm. With stories like this, you've got to take care, don't you? All right, we're not done yet. There is more to go. If you'll just keep it right where you've got it. In the middle of the night, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast and well beyond AM, if you can handle it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 7th, 2001.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm gonna open up your gate.
This is Coast to Coast AM in the nighttime. Here we go again. First time caller line, which is actually the tonight the entity attack line. You are on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Ann. I'm calling from Juneau, Alaska.
Hello, Ann, the capital of Alaska.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, I was really surprised to hear so many responses to this gal that spoke the other night.
Were you? Are you surprised to hear so many people with similar stories?
Yes, because that's been happening to me for about 18 years.
18 years?
Yes, and it started happening when I got born again. And I should mention that I'm from a...
You mean when you became a born-again Christian?
Yes. And I renounced the Indian culture, and that's when it started happening. Because I'm from a tribe that, you know, totem poles and graven images and all these things.
Uh-huh.
And it has never let up. And I was very encouraged by that man who said he fasted, because it seems to me it's been laid on my heart, you know, to fast, and I've just been afraid to.
Well, what do you make of it? I mean, how do you interpret the fact that when you became a born-again Christian, all of this came upon you?
Well, I just seem to understand. I just read the Bible, and then I understood. It seemed like my eyes were just open, like a man earlier was saying.
Yeah, but you would think thank you very much. You would think just the very opposite, that when somebody would embrace Christianity, if what a lot of Christians say, that when she embraced it, that troubles of that sort would lessen, not magnify, and not begin. A little food for thought there. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes. Art?
Yes, yes.
Okay, this is Connie. I'm calling from Bloomington, Indiana.
Hi, Connie.
Hi. I love your show, and
I'm just
sitting here just with chills down my spine when the guy was speaking of the hooded figure that didn't have any face or feet or anything.
Yes, the one where he described it as gliding.
Yes.
Yes,
uh-huh. Yes, just floating by. I had that experience, and I am just, like, freaking out right now because this is, like, so scary. It was back in the 70s, right after the Exorcist movie came out.
Right.
And I'll try to make this as brief as possible because I know this won't, you know, you have to be quick. But this is the honest God's truth. I lived in a old house that was made into apartments in downtown Gary, Indiana. And we had, my whole family kind of took over the apartment because whoever owned it, they abandoned it. But they had remodeled it. So it was the strangest thing. And it was broken down into like four apartments.
Right.
One in the front, one in the back, one in the middle, and in the attic. And my sister moved in the back. Me and my mother lived in the middle. And in the front, a friend of ours that was practicing witchcraft moved down into the front.
Uh-huh.
And when that person moved in, these strange things started happening in this whole apartment house. And one night in particular that just happened to me, I was out with my brother's wife. And mind you, I was only about 14, but I had gotten drunk off of tequila, and I just laid on the couch and just kind of passed out. Well, my mom had a deadbolt on the door with keys that just hung in there, and I just heard the slightest sound of these keys, and it woke me up out of a dead drunk and just being a young kid. And I went over to the door. I don't know what made me go to the door, but when I opened it, this hooded figure just glided from the stairs down, and my sister was upstairs with her boyfriend, and glided down right in front of me, and I just panicked, and I screamed, and I slammed the door shut. And then my sister said, "Connie, is that you?" And I said, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "What was that?" She goes, "Open the door and let us in." I said, "I'm not opening this door until you get down here." I said, "What is that?" I'm yelling through the door to her.
Right.
And she said, "Just please open the door. We're on our way down." So when they got down there, they ran in. I opened the door real fast. She was as wide as a sheet. Her boyfriend was Puerto Rican, and I tell you, he looked like he was an albino.
They had both seen this then also.
My sister didn't, but only he did. And it was coming up the stairs towards him, and she asked him, she goes, I said, "What was that thing I just seen?" And she goes, "Wait a minute, don't say nothing," because she wanted to verify it. So she you know, asked him what he saw, and then he got quiet, where I couldn't hear it, and then she asked me what I saw, and she just almost literally fainted. She said, "Oh, my God," because when they were upstairs.
Separate parts of the house, both saw the same thing. She sat there and realized it was the truth.
Yes, but then strange things started happening in that house. We lived like a mile from the steel mill.
Right.
And at about 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning you'd hear this loud thumping in this house. And
where was this? Was this in Juneau?
And it was in Gary, Indiana.
Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the people that well, see, the house finally just burned to the ground because it scared us so bad. There was a foul smell in there. We were always hearing noises. My sister-in-law was cussing this thing out because she always believed that if you cussed it out, it would leave you alone.
I'm not sure that's a sound policy.
You don't think so?
Well, I there are others who, you know, call out the name Jesus or something like that, but I'm not sure cussing at it would be the path I would choose. But I don't know, whatever works.
I don't know either, but I mean, I was so scared. Like I said, I was only 14, and my brother lived in Iowa. And, you know, I just started hitchhiking out of there. I moved out. I said, "Mom, I have to leave."
That was it. That was enough for you, huh?
When I seen that, and then upstairs it was raining, and my mom said, "Did you guys close the upstairs window in the apartment upstairs?"
Yes.
They heard something slide across the floor. When they went to go open the door, there was a dresser in front of the door. There was nobody up there. There's no other way to get in that apartment, but you have to bypass the middle apartment.
Gotcha.
And I'm like, you know, this is it. I've got to get out of here.
I don't blame you, and trust me when I tell you I would have done exactly the same thing. So many people hang in there, or worse yet, go and investigate. I'm going to try and call. Remember I told you Shelley sent me an interesting... Now she sent me a very interesting fast blast, and I'm going to see if Shelley is still awake, and if Shelley is, we're going to have her tell us her story. Let's see if Shelley's in.
Hello?
Shelley?
Yes.
It's Art Bell.
Hi, Art.
And you're on the air.
Thank you.
I it was an intriguing fast blast, and so I thought I'd call you, and I just did.
Yes, in 78, in February, a spirit appeared. He was very solid. A lot of people saw him. He first appeared at our mailbox, and he was dressed like a seaman in the 1800s, like a whaler.
Yes.
And he would walk around, mostly sundowns, evenings, and people would come up to the door, especially women. He would appear suddenly at them, never hurt them, but just startled them. So he... took a liking to teasing people, scratching on the window. He'd open the curtains and there he'd be, and then he'd disappear, grab you in the middle of the night, or you'd walk to the bathroom and bump into him, and he'd laugh and disappear. So,
well, I'll tell you, that'll ruin a bathroom trip.
It wakes you up.
Yeah, no doubt.
So this went on for about 6 months, and on and off he would appear, disappear, not hurt anybody though. So one night, I'm home alone. I make myself a sandwich, leave the knife and the food on the stove, go take my bath.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching a horror movie in the middle of the night.
Of course.
All the lights go off. Both front door and back door blow open.
Blow open.
Yeah, they just at the same time, and they were locked.
Oh, great.
And so I figure, okay, the lights go out, the phone's dead. I go, okay, fuse. I'm going to go out and change the fuses.
What part about a fuse blew open the doors?
I didn't want to ask that at that point.
Huh.
I just wanted to get the lights on.
Right.
So I went out there, I went to the fuse box, and the fuses had been unscrewed and dropped onto the ground. So at this point, I'm hoping it's a physical person that's doing this, and I decided to go back into the house after I got the lights back on, lock the doors, and the butcher knife's gone.
Oh, man.
And my phone's still dead.
Oh, brother.
So now I know he's got a knife.
And he's there.
And he's there. And so I barricaded myself against a wall until somebody came home. And so a few nights later, now he's let me think that he's just going to put the knife somewhere and scare me. So I don't know what he's going to do. Weeks later, I'm asleep.
Yes.
I get awakened in the middle of the night by something grabbing my arm so tightly that it hurt. You know, you wake up, ow.
Yeah.
It was so cold and wet. And I jumped up and I screamed. And I turned on the light, and I heard him laugh, and he disappeared. And my arm was covered like somebody had dipped their hands in blood and put their hands on me. So my whole arm was covered in blood.
Oh, my God.
So I didn't know if he had cut me with a knife, or you're half awake.
Yeah, sure, you could think I've been cut, yeah.
Run to the bathroom, wash myself off, and I just have bruises, just like it's a handprint.
Right.
So I'm startled. I get shook. I said, okay, you know what? You're not bugging me. I'm going to go back to bed. I go back to bed, and there's a butcher knife in my pillow.
There's a butcher knife in your pillow?
The same
oh
one
God.
He took.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Man.
And then...
I'd be so out of there.
Well, no, I just said, you know, it's either me or you. You're going,
obviously.
Or I'm going.
Yeah,
one of us is going. And the next night, I was writing some poetry, and it felt like somebody grabbed my hand, and he wrote his name. Thomas Jodo.
Thomas Jodo?
And I said, okay, what will it take to get you out of here? What the heck do you want?
Yes.
And he wrote, horses.
Horses?
Horses, of all things. I'm thinking this is some sort of drama here, and he writes horses. In my head, I hear a voice, an Irish brogue, and he tells me that he was a whaler. First, he'd been somebody who groomed horses somewhere in Ireland, joined a whaling vessel, made money, heard about the gold fever in California, went to California, and died on the ground where my house was. In a fight, a knife fight, somebody had killed him.
Holy smokes.
So he said he wanted horses. He loved horses. He said, give me horses and I'll leave you alone.
And so?
I'm in Fresno, and I'm saying, okay. Well, I remember my mother had a friend who had inherited his brother's farm, and he had a corral and a barn. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to get this guy out of here. So I tell you, I told him, you go to Wayne's house. You go, because he's not living there, because he couldn't. His brother had committed suicide, and he couldn't live on the property. He had a security guard out there. I said, you go to the barn at Wayne's house, and I'll get you horses somehow. Don't ask me how. Just go. And he said, if you don't, I'll come back. So without telling Wayne, I sent this ghost over there. Well, Wayne had seen this man on the property, and the night watchman was scared to death. And so Wayne had seen this man come out of the barn, and he came over to him, and he was a big, tall man, like I described to my mom, big, tall man, dressed as a seaman.
Yes.
And he says, what's your name? And he says, my name's Thomas Chodo. And he goes, what are you doing here? And he goes, I've come to take care of the horses. And he goes, what horses? And he says, Shelley promised me horses.
Yes.
And he turned his back and walked into the barn. Wayne follows him into the barn, and there's nobody there. So then Wayne calls my mom and says, what's going on? Who's this guy that Shelley promised horses to? So mom explained the story. So Wayne had a friend who needed to board horses. So he told a friend, put your horses in my corral, bring your hay, leave them there for a while. I'll give you some free space, because he wanted to see what was going to happen.
Yes.
The guy came back the next morning and said, well, if your night watchman's going to take care of my horses and feed them and water them, I want to pay him for it. So Wayne goes back to the watchman. The watchman says, I don't know what's going on. There's lights in the barn. These horses are going in and out of the barn by themselves. I hear water. I hear food. I'm not going near the place. Quit the job. But the horses have been brushed, fed, and watered.
Aye, aye, aye.
So Wayne put, I told him, give him Irish whiskey. He put Irish whiskey out there. It disappeared. He didn't like the way the ghost, he says, if I don't have a ghost, he's really ratty looking. I'm going to get him some new clothes.
All right, we're way short on time here.
Well, it ended with him moving into the house across the street that Wayne owned. They had a widow's walk, like this New England and Irish homes, you know.
And
he stayed there.
And he stayed there.
With the horses.
That's some story, hon. Thank you very much. And with that, I think we'll call it a wrap. That's it for me from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. Ta-ta.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you? Midnight in the desert, and we're listening. Ooh, we're listening to you. Midnight in the desert.